an honor and a privilege it is to be with you. I appreciate that. Thank you. We just got a few minutes together. Hold on. We've got just a few minutes together, so I want you to take your Bibles and go to Philippians. Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3. And I'm going to have, since you like to talk, I'm going to give you an opportunity to talk some more. We're going to have the men read the even verses, the ladies the odd verses, and then we'll all conclude on verse 14. So Philippians chapter 3, verses 10 through 14. What an honor and a privilege it is to be here, Brother Frost. I look forward to talking with you just a little bit. And Brother Strofe, good to have you. And I want to encourage you one more time. I'm glad that Brother Mitchell had him come up and pray. If you could see, working with church and school placement, if you could see the number of pastors that are looking for laborers, of course, it makes a whole lot of sense. The harvest is truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. And I just wish I had more to send out. But, of course, that's the Lord's will, and it's all in God's timing. But they're here. They're here to see you, and you're here to be trained to go out there. And so let me encourage you, please go and see these men of God and get to know them. And maybe this is God's will for your life. You'll never know until you go. And so I want to encourage you to do so. Philippians chapter 3, verses 10 to 14. Again, men, let's have you read the even verses, and ladies, we'll have you read the odd. So men, we'll read 10 and 12, ladies, 11 and 13, and then we will all conclude on verse 14. Ready, men? Philippians chapter 3, starting at verse 10. Here we go. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. Ladies? Not as though I had already attained, neither were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Let's read verse 14 together. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. You know, as you look forward to a new year, we're already here, there should be some things from last year that you leave behind. Maybe a friendship that has hindered you, an attitude that kept you or that keeps you from doing our best. And by the way, let me just stop here. Joshy Washy and Allie, good to see you back there. I don't know if you saw them. Good to see you guys. Attitudes that have kept you from doing your best, maybe even thoughts of quitting. I started here, we'll pray in just a minute, but I started here in 1987. Go ahead. Yep. Mom and Dad left me at the place where I found the most comfort, by the gym, and just kind of drowned my sorrows there at the gym, shooting baskets with my good buddy, Brother Danny Mendez. And of course, that began a new stage of life for me. I was no longer a kid. Although I acted immature, I was no longer a kid at home. I was in a new chapter of my life. And I want to say to you that you too are in a new chapter of your life. There's some things that you need to be willing to leave behind in order to find and fulfill the will of God. And so I'm going to speak to you on the subject this morning, the point of negative return. The point of negative return. Let's pray. Lord, for these few moments that we have together, there are young people in here, most of them, our college students, are weary from a busy week at work and studies. And then, Lord, as they look forward to the other things that come in their life, marriage and a future ministry, I pray, Lord, that you would bring a holy hush over this auditorium and give me your help. Help me to say only the things that you'd want me to say. Whatever I have planned, if it's not according to your will, I pray that you'd scratch that and give me exactly the direction you'd want me to go into. Please help us. Please meet with us. There may be somebody in here today who's not saved, who does not know you. And for these many weeks or days that they've been here, they've done a pretty good job of concealing things. There may be in here someone who's ready to quit, somebody who's ready to make a life-altering decision. Please, Holy Spirit, I can't do it, but you sure can, and I trust you. Please do a work here and give me the words to say. Direct us as you see fit. In Jesus' name, Amen. In Galatians 1, you won't need to turn there, but in verse 13 to 24, the Bible gives us an understanding of the life of the Apostle Paul. And before his conversion, he was known as Saul of Tarsus. A few things about Saul. He was a brilliant student of Gamaliel, and he was on his way to becoming an influential leader of the Jewish faith. Saul was steeped in the Jewish tradition and was known far and wide as a zealous persecutor of Christians. But on the Damascus Road, something changed. Something happened. Everything changed. And of course, we know that the Bible teaches us later on that he went from Saul to Paul. He also went from a persecutor to a preacher. He was simply willing, though. Here's the secret. Throughout his ministry, he suffered many things for the Lord Jesus Christ, but he was simply willing to leave behind all of his worldly accomplishments and follow Christ. And the title of this message, again, is The Point of Negative Return. The Bible says in Philippians verse 8 of chapter 3, look there if you would, please. Yea, doubtless, the Bible goes on to say, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung. Notice these words, that I may win Christ. Let me say to you this morning, college student, the motivation of the Apostle Paul's life was to win Christ. He was the reward, and he's the pursuit in his life. He was the pursuit there. He ought to be the pursuit in our lives. We ought to do everything we can to do every work in different areas of our ministries to please the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me ask you a question this morning. What are you willing to leave behind in order to discover his perfect will for your life? I want to speak to you on this subject. I'm going to show a video at the very end, so just to keep you entertained. But I want you to look a little bit at Paul's life. If you would, please go to Philippians chapter 3 and verse 10. We read it already, but the scripture says, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. He was motivated to know Christ. He was motivated to know Christ. His experience as he began to know Christ, his experience with the Lord was very personal. Paul said again, to know that I may know him. Paul's experience was very real with Christ, and he had spent some miserable years of his life following the law and persecuting Christians. But when he came to know Christ, everything changed. Let me ask you a question. Do you know Christ, or do you just know of him? I said in the prayer that there may be somebody in here this morning. I'm not trying to provoke something that's not there. But every year, I'm sure, in every semester, someone comes to know Christ as a college student. And I want you to examine your life this morning. Do you just know of him, or do you know him? If you are saved this morning, and I would believe that's just about everybody, how is your relationship with him? Is it developing? Is it growing? Do you know him more? Just like a dating couple, a young man, a young lady would come together, begin to talk, and they begin to know each other a little bit more, but it comes through more and more dates. That's a hint too, by the way. It comes through more and more dates. And what was your time like with Christ today? Do you know him? Do you know him more now than you did in the first semester? Do you know him more now than you did when the moment you first got saved? Paul's experience was very personal. In John chapter 10 and verse 14, Jesus said, I am the good shepherd and know my sheep and have known of mine. Do you know him today? Is there a spot, college student? This always tugs at my emotions. I spoke to the kids a week or so ago and the new ones, and I said to them, there's got to be a spot. And these men know what I'm talking about. There's got to be a spot in this college, maybe on your bus route, maybe at your job, where you have gotten alone and have spent time with God. And I can take you to a place right now where in the most difficult times and challenging times in my life, where I've gone and I've poured out my heart to God, I can take you forever, wherever God has led us in our ministry, to different places where I've prayed and I've asked God for help. And let me ask you a question, college student. Do you really know him? Do you have that time with him? Don't leave this place without getting some time with the Lord. Don't get out into the ministry without having a place where you can come back years later and say, college student, I did find a place out in the woods. I did find a place out in the football field. I did find a place on my bus route where I prayed, or in my dorm room, or somewhere on this property, somewhere. Don't leave this place without having that testimony. Make sure that you have a time and a place with the Lord. Do you have a knowledge of Him? Do you know Him? Paul's relationship with the Lord is very personal. By the way, let me just say this. I was thinking about it this morning. You know, if you're corrected in some area, some infraction, and you have a bad spirit about it, a lot of times that simply reveals how much you know the Lord, how much time you've spent with Him. Pastor often says, my quiet time alone gives me power to obey. If you're struggling with authority this morning, that probably just simply reveals how much you're spending time with the Lord, how much time you're being submissive to Him. That's just a side thought. His experience was personal. Second of all, or next, his experience was very powerful. Look what the scripture says in Philippians 3:10, and the power of His resurrection, and the power of His resurrection. You know, when Paul met the Lord Jesus on the road to Damascus, his life was transformed. He left a restricted way of thinking, which was following the law, and he found salvation by grace through faith. He found that Jesus was his master. He found that Jesus was his friend and his companion. And what a change that took place in the life of the Apostle Paul, a conversion. It was a powerful experience. Let me ask you this, are you walking in His power? Too many of us, if we're not careful, we can go through the motions of the day. And pastor often tells us, did you think about the Lord Jesus today? Did you think about what you were doing this morning when you went to class? Saturday, when you go on your bus route, are you literally thinking about what you're doing? Are you walking in God's power? You say, I go and I soul win and I talk to people and nothing happens. I want to encourage you today. Are you walking in His power? If not, spend time with Him and walk in His power. You may need to give up some sleep and some free time. I think there is time available to you. Although there's not much, there is time available to you. And maybe there has to be some things like putting away some of the games and things that are distracting you. The Bible talks about the weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. There's some things that we've got to lay aside in order to follow Him with all of our heart. The Bible says in 2 Timothy 1:7, let me say this to you, for God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. If you're not walking in victory today, let me encourage you to walk in His way, walk in His spirit, walk in His power, get alone with God, get to know God, and you'll find that God will be real to you, and God will help you, and God will give you the grace to keep on going. He was motivated to know Christ. And as he knew Christ, his experience was personal. It was powerful. But let me also say this. In verse 10, the Bible says, and the fellowship of his sufferings. His experience at times was painful. When Paul became a Christian, he suffered much for Christ. He was imprisoned. He was tortured. He was jailed throughout his preaching ministry. Yet he counted it a privilege to suffer for the cause of Christ. Jesus said to the disciples in Matthew chapter 10, verse 16, behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be therefore wise as serpents and harmless as doves. Let me say this. The challenges that you face here in college, they're real, and I understand that, and I don't discount them at all. But as you step forward into the ministry, you're going to find challenges there, and you're going to find some obstacles there, and that's why you need to get to know God now. That's why you need to be in practice walking with Him and talking with Him and having Him carry you through every challenge that you face at this stage of life, because you're going to need Him out there. And there is a passage of Scripture I want to give to you. 1 Corinthians 16:9. The Bible says, for a great door and effectual is open unto me, and there are many adversaries. Let me challenge you, college students. It's real. There are adversaries out there. Pastor often refers to the target that is on your back and on mine. We talked about it this morning, I believe, in prayer time or devotions, that the devil comes in seasons, and he comes for different reasons, but he does come and he does go, but he's at it all the time. And we need to understand there are adversaries out there. That's why we must walk in the Spirit. That's why we must walk with Him, get to know Him. And his experience was personal, powerful, and painful. You know, even as you're in the dorm room, I can recall one evening as a freshman student, I was in my room, and a guy knocked on my door and he came in and I was laying on the bed. I was supposed to be studying, but I was probably catching a few winks there. But, you know, as I was laying there and reading partially, he came in. He said, hey, let me play a song for you. I thought, all right. And pulled up a chair and he began to play something. He said, I played this in my band when I was in back in California. And I said, hey, wait a minute. I don't need to hear that. And he got up. He was furious with me. He said, I just want to play you a song that we used to play in my band when I was in California. I said, man, I don't need to hear that. I said, we're here in college now. And I didn't, I made my mistakes too, but at that moment, I was walking in the Spirit. And I said, listen, I don't need to hear that. He got up. He slammed the door behind him. I heard him in the next room. And a few minutes later, he came to me and he said, you know what? You're right. He said, I shouldn't have been thinking back, you know, to those days. But you know what? He kept thinking about those days. Even though he told me I shouldn't be thinking about him, he was. And it wasn't a few years later. He was back in California and back with the band. But you know, it was a moment that was uncomfortable. I've had moments in my job where they were uncomfortable. I've had moments in pastoring where there were some challenges there. It was uncomfortable. It was uncomfortable at times to stand. I'm not a confrontational person. I don't enjoy that. And I think most of us are in the same boat, but you're going to have some obstacles if you're going to stand for Christ. You know, there's going to be conversation in the dorm room that you know is not right, and somebody's got to stand. Amen. It's quiet on that because I know that to be the case. There's conversation in the dorm room that's not appropriate. It's not of God. If Pastor walked in there, Brother King, or any of us walked in, I'm sure the room would get quiet because you know exactly what I'm talking about. There's conversation in the car on the way to work. There are inappropriate things that are being said, and they should not be on our lips. I want to encourage you, college student, that there are some things we've got to leave behind. Amen. Some of that talk, some of those bad attitudes, even the wrong influence. I think my freshman year, that first semester, I goofed off, to be honest with you. I was at the gym a lot and probably had a circle of friends that should not have been around. But boy, that second semester came and I started to realize there's some things I got to give up. Amen. Here I am looking towards the ministry and here I am preparing. And what am I doing now to prepare for that? I had to leave it behind. Paul talked about this experience in his life. He was motivated to know Christ. Second of all, he was motivated to follow Christ. He was motivated to follow Christ. Look at verses 12 to 14 of Philippians 3. Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect. But notice this, but I follow after. If that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do. Forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let me tell you a few things about his motivation to follow Christ. I would say this, there was some dissatisfaction. Dissatisfaction, he said in verse 12, not as though I had already attained. Paul was satisfied with Christ, but he was not content in being an average Christian. You can fit in real nice and well here in this college and say, well, I went soul winning. I went on the bus route. I was there in church. I went to the teen center. You can fit in and hide pretty easy within a ministry this size. But I want to say this. How many of you are content with being there? And how many of you have a desire? How many of you have a burning desire to do something for the Lord? I'd sit there when I was in college chapel, and you could, on Wednesdays when Brother Hiles would come, I could look underneath that door. There was a, you know, a little bit of a gap there, and I saw those feet. I didn't know if it was Dr. Evans' feet, Brother Hiles' feet, Dr. Jorgensen's feet, but I saw the movement there, and there was some excitement that swelled in my heart. And some of you that were in college the same time I was here, in that time period, there was some excitement. Why? Because preacher was coming. He was going to fire us up. He was going to challenge us to get out of here and do something big for God. I want to ask you a question. What fires you up? What are you motivated with? Paul was motivated to follow Christ and to follow him with all his heart, but there was some dissatisfaction. Let me challenge you. Don't be satisfied with being mediocre. Amen. We got enough of that. Amen. There was also some devotion. There was complete devotion. In Philippians 3 and verse 14, the Bible says, I press toward the mark. To press means to follow after. To press is like an intense endeavor, like a hunter seeking his prey. And just like the athlete is rewarded for their performance, Paul understood that the faithful believer would one day be crowned at the return of Jesus. Paul was motivated. How do you demonstrate your devotion to the Lord? Here's where things change. In verse 13, he says this, "Forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before." Amen. The Apostle Paul could have spent the rest of his days, the rest of his life, living in depression and fear for his previous life, persecuting Christians. Yet he chose to live for the Lord Jesus with all his heart. Amen. Chose to leave some things behind. He desired to know Christ and to follow him with all his heart. Amen. You know, I've always been fascinated with space flight. And as a kid, I would draw, you know, pictures of rockets. I always kind of like to look at that and see the different stages of, Ralston. But I was always fascinated with that and drawing pictures of rockets and the different stages and things like that. And one day I was watching something, and something that was said captured my attention. But before I get to that, I believe it was 1961, 62. I wasn't born yet. But the United States entered into the space race against the Soviets. And before the end of the decade, America, the U.S., we were going to go and put a man on the moon. John F. Kennedy had his famous speech, and he said this, "We choose to go to the moon, not because it's hard, or not because it's easy, because it's hard." And that challenges me when I think about different areas of my life. I don't choose to do it because it's easy. I choose to do it because it's the hard thing to do. It's a difficult thing. But it's an amazing thing when I watch this, what you're going to see in just a moment. The space shuttle was 2011, February, and it was Discovery's last mission to the International Space Station. Before I show you this video, I want you to notice that something at the very end, and I'll point it out to you. But I love hearing about how the space shuttle took off. I mean, you want to talk about hauling the mail. Within 57 seconds into flight, get this, the space shuttle Discovery was already going over 750 miles an hour. By a minute and 47 seconds into flight, its altitude was already at 22 miles and its speed was near 2,600 miles per hour. By 2 minutes and 35 seconds, its altitude was 39 miles and its rate of speed was 3,200 miles per hour. It was burning, talk about a gas guzzler, it was burning a half a ton of fuel per second. By 3.5 minutes, its altitude was 53 miles and its rate of speed was over 4,000 miles per hour. Something happened at 4 minutes and 8 seconds. And by the way, I'm not trying to be funny here. We're not going to see the disaster of a space shuttle. At 4 minutes and 8 seconds into flight, Discovery had traveled 61 miles, and her rate of speed was over 5,000 miles per hour. And it was at that point where Discovery reached the point, and you'll hear it at the very end of this video, the point of negative return. And after the video is shown, I'll explain that and we'll conclude.
We have a go for auto sequence start. Discovery's onboard computers have primary control of all the vehicle's critical functions. T-minus 17 seconds and counting. 15, 12, 11, 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 8, start, 2, 1, boost ignition, and liftoff of the Space Shuttle Discovery, returning to the space station, paving the way for future missions beyond.
Booster separation confirmed. Guidance now converging. Discovery's onboard computers commanding the main engine nozzles to swivel, aiming the shuttle for its precise target in space for main engine cutoff.
You have a good forward leg now on
estimate. Okay, you sound good.
Discovery Houston, negative return.
Copy, negative return.
The point of negative return is when the shuttle is flying too far downrange and too high to return to the launch site in the event of an engine failure. When I went home for Christmas break my freshman year, something strange happened. Things weren't the same. I had already had a semester on my own, worked my job. I learned a lot in college. I could no longer recreate my childhood or teenage years. Something happened, and everyone in this room probably knows a little bit of what I'm talking about. And I want to say this to you. Although I loved home, I noticed that things were no longer the same. As much as we would want to go back into those years, they're just not the same. And I know that almost sounds like a little bit of a depressing thought, but it's true. When you transition to a new stage of life, you can't really go back and recreate everything as it once was. I guess I want to say this to you as a college student. When you think about all the hundreds and thousands of people and man hours that went in to get that space shuttle into the sky and into the International Space Station, I want you to think about all the people that helped get you here to this place. I want you to think about the mom and dad this morning who have prayed, the preacher that you have, the youth pastor. They've prayed to get you to this place. Not just geographically to Hiles Anderson, but this place in your life where you're here preparing to serve the Lord. And to be honest with you, you could turn back, but it won't be the same. You've heard some things. You're responsible for some things. And now you must take that which you have learned and take off with it. I want to say this, the sky's the limit to what God can do in your life. Some of you have restricted the Lord. There's a ceiling in your life. God could never use me to do anything. God may give me a little ministry here, but I don't think he'll use me in a big way. There is no secret what God can do. What he's done for others, he'll do for you. But you've got to get along with him. You've got to know him. You've got to follow him. You've got to pursue him. And I want to ask you a question this morning. When I think about this lost world that we have, when you think about the thousands and thousands and millions of people, when you think about, as we prayed this morning in our prayer time with Pastor, the people all over this country and around the world who have no knowledge at this moment of the gospel. And many of you are saying, and you're sitting in your seat right now, I'm comfortable, I'm okay, I'm average, I fit in. But let me ask you this question. If not you, then who is going to reach this lost world? If not you, who's going to reach this lost world for Christ? If not you here sitting at Hiles Anderson College, if it's not you, then who? I know we have great Bible colleges around our country, and I praise the Lord for them, and many of them are doing a great job. And I think that I love how our pastor feels about them. We partner together, we work together. But I want to ask you, Hiles Anderson College student, if not you, then who? Let me also ask you this, if not here, then where? You're sitting here right now and say, well, I'll get to it when I get to the ministry. No, start now. Start now. Start now. Knocking on doors. Hey, fellas, let me just tell you right now, you ought to start acting like a preacher. You ought to start dressing and talking like a preacher. And walk in the light of your fire. Walk with the Lord. If not you, then who? And if not here, then where? When are we going to get started? And that leads me to the next thought, and I'll quit. If not now, then when? When? Good. Well, I'm here at college and I'm just kind of going through the motions. Stop going through the motions. Brother Hiles challenged us years ago. Now is the time. This is the place. Amen. And we are the people. Right. I want to challenge you this morning, college students. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. If not you, then who? If not here, then where? And if not now, then when? Some things have to be left behind. The point of negative return. What are you willing to leave behind? What are you willing to let go of so that you can follow Christ with all your heart. I shudder to say this. As the piano plays, I wonder, is it a relationship? Is it a friendship? Is it someone or something back home? Is it a friend that's sitting next to you in College Chapel right now? You mess around, trying to just pass the time away? Is it a mindset that you have where you just think, well, I'll get through this, and I get to do whatever I want to do when I'm out of college, and I'll move on to other things? Brother Hiles challenged us every year in pastor school. Some of you need to burn some bridges behind you. It's not a statement that I enjoy hearing. It's not a statement that you probably enjoy hearing, but some of you need to burn some bridges so you can follow Christ with all your heart. Really is no secret what God can do, what He's done for others, He can do for you. It's all dependent what you're willing to leave behind. Wherever you're at in the stage of life, would you ask the Holy Spirit to help you and direct you? What I need to give up? What's that sin? What's that weight that's keeping me from being all that I need to be? So many things I could think of, but I want to say this. Everyone in this room, you have potential, and great potential. And God is able to make your testimony very powerful if you'll give it all to Him. God's doing something, I believe, in our college. God's doing something in our midst today. Would you let Him work in your life?